Veterans Affairs Committee meeting has now commenced. It is April 8, 2026. The time is 6 p.m. This meeting is being held through a hybrid format. As we continue our efforts in meeting remotely and in person, we ask all commissioners and guests who are joining us virtually to mute yourselves until called upon to speak to avoid feedback and background noise. For those who have dialed in using the call-in number to unmute to speak, dial *6 on your phone. Also, prior to speaking, please announce who you are to identify yourself. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. We ask that you only use the chat function to request to speak or to announce that you are leaving the meeting so that we can track quorum. Also, in order to comply with the state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using audio, not the chat function. Terry Byron. John Curtis.
Here.
Bruce Hayes.
Present and or accounted for.
Thank you. Brenda Hewitt.
Here.
Thank you. Rocio Carey.
Here.
Marsha Woolleader.
Here.
Lorraine Obregón.
Here. Present.
Thank you. Marlon Ruiz.
Present.
Thank you. Tom Tubbs.
Happy to be here.
And Alan Young.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Bruce, if you can kick us off with an invocation, please.
Father, we come to you in your holy and precious name. We thank you for the ability to have this meeting. We ask that you provide us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that we can run this meeting in a manner fit your presence. We pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you for that. All right, so item 3, introduction of guests. We have from the VA here, I have John Cattell. You don't look like John.
I'm not John, not today. So Leslie Lockridge. I am the new medical center director here in Tucson, and this week is my first week, so I wanted to make sure and come here and meet those of you I could in person and the rest virtually. I'll share just a little bit about myself. So I am a nurse by background. I've been in the VA system since 2009. I can't do the math. I'll let you guys do that for me. But I've been, originally from Tennessee. So I'll just say, if you hear a little twang in my voice, that's where that comes from. But I've worked in several systems, but for the last, over almost 14 years, I've been here in the state of Arizona. I've been working out of, Washington DC for, our real command for VA, which is our central office out of Washington DC, as a deputy assistant undersecretary for health for patient care services. But before that, I spent many years at the Phoenix VA, both as their deputy medical center director and also their associate director for patient care and chief nursing officer. As I mentioned, this is my first week here. I swore in on Monday morning, bright and early here in Tucson as the medical center director. Extremely happy to be here. I consider Arizona my home now. We live here by choice. I wouldn't be anywhere else. And I'm thrilled to be part of this organization. I've said it many times. I feel like when you walk in somewhere, you can tell what kind of place you're in almost immediately. This is a fantastic healthcare system down here. Wonderful people, wonderful outcomes. And I just couldn't be more thrilled. And the team has done a great job in just kind of keeping the ship very steady since Ms. Gutowski left, and we hope to just keep doing the same things and build upon those as we go forward. I mentioned we've got tremendous outcomes, so the one thing I will share is a couple weeks ago we went through our triennial survey, which is our Joint Commission survey in here in Tucson, and they survey a multitude of areas. They do home care. They do long-term care, they do acute care, and they do behavioral health. I will share that there were no high risk, no widespread findings of any kind in any area. And in fact, one of the surveyors mentioned this being one of the best scoring matrix when they left that they had ever seen. And quite frankly, that was my feeling when I saw the matrix. I've never seen one look that good. And so I think that's just a testament to all of the work that has been done and that continues to be done, in this healthcare system. And again, we just want to continue that, build upon that, and just, really take any opportunity to expand on innovations and things like that as we can, as we go forward here. I will give a little disclaimer that I will do my best. If you guys have any questions for me, I will do my best to answer them. But I will say that I may not be able to answer everything right now as I am just really learning my way around here. I do have our public affairs officer, Luke, with me. He probably has a little bit more of the nitty-gritty detail as I get myself up to speed here. And then we'll certainly circle back with you on anything else that we can. But door is open. I hope we just continue this great partnership. I'm doing the best I can to get out and meet as many people as I can. But we really value all the partnership that we have throughout the community. And really, we want to continue that, seek any bit of feedback we can at any time. But with that, I'll hand it back over. I'm not sure how you usually do this. If folks have questions, I'm happy to answer them, or I'll stay around after as well.
Any questions? Other than welcome. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Lorraine? Our gold star mother.
Love it.
Yes. Thank you. And welcome.
Oh, you're cutting in and out, Lorraine. Are you muted again?
Can you hear me?
Now you're back on.
Okay, well, thank you, Chair, and welcome. Welcome to our home sweet home, the Old Pueblo. I have a quick question. You said survey. You just underwent survey. Are we joint commissioner accredited or certified? The difference with the survey would be state survey. When you're speaking survey, you're talking joint commissioner?
We are. We are joint commissioner.
Oh, good.
Certified. We just went back through our triennial.
Good.
And that's what I mentioned. It was fantastic survey.
Okay, I didn't hear the joint commissioner, so I wanted to make sure. That's great because reimbursement is better. And hopefully we don't have that lag in claims as it has been. So welcome, and we're looking forward to some good outcomes to these old issues. Thank you.
Welcome.
Anything else? Last round?
I have a quick question.
Sure.
I don't know if Darren Gregg is going to be here this evening to speak about the new VA clinic that's going to be built at Davis-Monthan projects and, you know, just the early stages. And I don't know if you have any insight on that or want to add anything.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he's going to be here to speak on that.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll be here either. I definitely know they broke ground on it, and you might have a few details on that. I'm not sure. And if not,
no worries. At some point, hopefully he will be here to give us an update. So,
yeah, I know it's a project works. I don't have all the details, but I'll write that down, and we'll just give the group an update. So I'm going to take notes and write that
down.
Sounds good.
No worries. I do have an update from Darren. He is G on the list, but we'll go ahead since it kind of came up and everything. So I have a little something from Darren Gregg. So he is the 355th Wing Director of Staff at DM, and they are planning to build, and it sounds like they broke ground already, on a joint hospital on a plot of land at the base. It will be right outside of the perimeter. It will be staffed jointly, I'm guessing from the VA and the base, and serve as both base personnel and broader veterans community, a clinic there. And that's it. It's not going to replace our VA campus or our community clinics, but it will serve a dual purpose for active duty personnel and also our veteran community. So hopefully that kind of helps, but we will still invite them to the next meeting. So that way, any questions that you have, hopefully they can answer better.
Can you see outside the gate? Do you know where it's at? The location?
Don't know. Sorry. That's why I was hoping. I was like, I know the open plot of land right across from the base.
I wrote this down. So what I'll do is I will get with our facility planner, and I will get the details of kind of what's going on, and I'll get it back. I'll just email you, and then we get up.
Yeah. Oh, I think the big thing for us is it's not going to take away from you guys, but it's going to be like an additional place for us to go, you know, so. Any questions, you guys? All right. So that kind of checked off G there. And we will still invite them to join our, hopefully, our May meeting before we go dark for the summer. That way they can answer any additional questions there. All right. So thank you again. I don't see Matt from the City of Tucson Veteran Affairs, Margo, Sarah, or Les, and I do see Michael. And Michael, it looks like you brought Antonio from HSI, Homeland Security Investigations. You wear several hats over there, and one of them is veteran hiring. So you have the floor, Michael and Antonio.
All right, thank you very much. Let me turn on my video so you guys can see me. All right.
Gotcha.
All right, yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys inviting me. I'm Supervisory Special Agent Michael Torres with Homeland Security Investigations. I also have with me Antonio Morero, one of my new hires, who was recently retired from the Air Force last year after serving, I think, 23 or 24 years. And I'm also a proud member of the United States Marine Corps. Rah to my devil dogs that are out there. Also a member of Chapter 38, Disabled American Veterans out in Sabaditas, where I lived at the last 15 years. And I am a national recruiter. Like I said, I wear many, many hats for this agency. For those that are not familiar with HSI, I do have a slideshow, and I'm going to keep it brief. But I wanted to, and speaking with the Rosales, she knows I do a lot of outreach. That's one of my main functions as a national recruiter. And my job has always been trying to recruit veterans to the job, and I think oftentimes people aren't aware what can you do when you separate. That was with me when I came back from Iraq in 2003 and trying to get into the job, had a college degree and trying to figure things out. I myself got hired by HSI under Veteran Recruitment Authority, and I think oftentimes we are kind of lost in the shuffle trying to get on with different jobs and trying to do something and still contribute to the government. But sometimes you just need somebody to be able to navigate that. And want to share that guys with you guys and hopefully share with any members that come to your meetings and whatnot. So let me just share the screen. I'll show you guys my PowerPoint, kind of explain what HSI is all about. Oftentimes, not everybody knows. Let's see. I'll share my screen with you guys and just pop up this PowerPoint. All right. All right. Can everybody see it? Somebody just give me a Tony. Just give me a thumbs up. You can see the slideshow. Okay. I imagine everybody can see it. Okay. So we're Homeland Security Investigations. We are the investigative arm of all of DHS, Department of Homeland Security, which I'm sure everyone is familiar with probably nowadays. We are the culmination of everything that happened after 9/11. They needed something that was a department that focused on obviously threats for the United States of America. And they took several agencies and created DHS. Under DHS are several entities from FEMA to TSA to Secret Service to Customs and Border Protection to ICE. To Coast Guard as well. They moved that over from DOD under under Department of Homeland Security. And then you took Legacy Customs Special Agents and INS Special Agents. They merged them together. And here we have Homeland Security Investigation. We've been around for quite some time. We are technically the oldest investigative agency since 1789. If you take it back to Legacy Customs Special Agents, that's how old we are. But HSI in terms of Homeland Security has been around since 2003. Our focus and our efforts is to investigate, disrupt, and dismantle terrorist, transnational, and criminal organizations that threaten or seek to exploit all of our customs and immigration laws in the United States. Some of our most noteworthy investigations that probably you guys weren't aware of is HSI was the one that arrested P. Diddy, the rapper, for sex trafficking out in California. I was actually on that warrant. That was a case out of New York. We also are the ones that arrested El Chapo Guzman here in Arizona. It was actually my office out of Rio Rico. That was a part of that, was our main investigation that led to that. Also the R&B singer R. Kelly and several other cartel members. That's mainly our focus. We are the investigative arm for DHS, similar to what the FBI is for Department of Justice. We are the two top agencies when you think about criminal investigative agencies. It's HSI and FBI. You have smaller agencies like DEA, ATF, Secret Service, IRS, that have specific focal points on what they investigate. But in terms of the biggest and largest investigative authorities, we have our hands in everything because we're the only ones that have customs and immigration authorities. No one else has that, not even the FBI. Like I said, our mission is to disrupt, investigate, and dismantle terrorist, transnational, and criminal organizations. So we go after everything that has a transnational nexus. So everything from Mexican mafia to the Russian mob to all the cartels that are down there now that they are terrorist organizations as well. We are involved in sex trafficking. If you saw the movie Sound of Freedom, that was all about HSI. Okay, we kind of was always under the radar, but now we're kind of out there and open in what we do. We have about 8,700 employees. We have probably about 6,000 special agents. And with this massive hiring push that the administration is pushing, we have bumped that number of special agents up to about 10,000. So I've been working nonstop for the last couple of years hiring on the surge that we've been having recently. We're kind of at the tail end now for this year. There are several announcements that are out there that we are able to hire on. And when you look at special agents, us, FBI, DEA, ATF, IRS, U.S. Marshals, we're all the same. So if you look at it from the context of the military, since we're all military, and 1811 is the MOS. That's what we all are when you're searching it. It's 1811. And then our billet is a criminal investigator, and our title is a special agent. Okay. We are located in pretty much every city across the nation. We have one of the largest footprints there, and we have the largest international footprint as well. So this is our map here. We have 30 special agent in charge offices all across the U.S. We're located pretty much everywhere you can see in every state. And we have 253 domestic field offices, including all the surrounding islands like Puerto Rico, Hawaii, Saipan, Guam, all the U.S. territories. And this is our international footprint. So we have you can do overseas tours over in Beijing to Australia to Africa to Brazil. And obviously Mexico is one of the biggest ones that we can do, and Canada. Our investigation priorities, like I said, we have our hands in pretty much everything. We do everything from narcotic smuggling to money laundering, child exploitation. That's one of our other big footprints. Transnational gangs. I used to run the gang unit over in Tucson. We would focus our efforts on MS-13, Sureños, Norteños, anything that had a transnational nexus, those type of gangs. Labor exploitation, human smuggling, human trafficking, weapons trafficking. Cyber crime, so we do a lot of Bitcoin investigations, dark web, anything that exploits children online like child sex abuse materials. Identity and benefit fraud, like the marriage fraud or coming in here with illegal green cards and things of that sort. Financial fraud and scams, counterproliferation. So we have those guys that are trying to procure Tomahawk missiles or something like that, or secrets and weapon guidance missile systems, those things that we are involved with. Terrorism and national security threats. Human rights violation, the war crimes, that's actually exclusive to us. So we go after those war criminals, those Nazis that are on the run. And cultural property, art, and antiquity smuggling. So fun little fact, U of A has a stolen painting that was returned to them back in a couple years back. It's a $250 million painting that was stolen back in 1985. That was our responsibility to get it back to the U of A. It's actually there now. So we're involved in those type of things. They're stolen artifacts. There were some dinosaur eggs that were stolen from China that was trying to be sold at the gem show back about 10 years ago. I was part of that investigation. This guy was trying to illegally export that from China and sell them for $60,000 each, and they were actually authentic dinosaur eggs, believe it or not. So we were involved in that as well. And actually intellectual property theft and trade fraud. So if you guys knew, remember the Super Bowl was played here about a couple years ago. So we have an IPR group that functions out of Phoenix, and we were the lead investigative agency overseeing the Super Bowl as a national security event. And during that time, we had an investigative group out there targeting groups and organizations that were trying to sell knockoff football jerseys and things of that sort that was not NFL licensed. And we seized about $4.5 million worth of fake counterfeit goods. So we have our hands pretty much in everything in what we investigate. These are some of the things we do: combat financial crimes, investigate cyber crimes, prevent crimes of exploitation, ensure public safety, uphold fairness in global trade, protecting national security, and securing, obviously, the border. We work alongside our partners such as Border Patrol, ICE, ERO, Customs and Border Protection, and obviously our other investigative agencies like the FBI, ATF, Secret Service, and things of that sort. And all of our investigations are all victim-centric, so every single thing that we investigate has some type of victim, whether it's an entity or an actual person. The hiring process and career path, like I said, is very important. I'm always recruiting veterans, and just people are not aware. The good thing about it with us, we have great benefits, very competitive pay. We come in as a GS-7 all the way to GS-13. So think of it as if you were enlisted, you can come in as an E-1 all the way to E-7. We have automatic promotion, so it's not like you have to do a meritorious board or put on the uniform, shave your face, you know, and have a photo and a resume. You go automatically. So if you come in as an entry level, we start off at GS-7. We don't even do GS-5 anymore. One year later, you go to GS9, then GS11, 12, and 13, and that's your journey as a special agent. And if you become a supervisor like me, you go to 14, and then you become an ASAC, assistant special agent in charge, you would go to the highest rank of a GS scale. We offer 25% on top of your salary for LEAP. That's just basically our uncontrolled overtime. Great dental, vision, life insurance, health plan. We get 13, 26 days of annual leave. And yes, your military time does carry over where you can actually bump that up right out the gate. Instead of averaging 4 hours per pay period, you can get up to 6 or 8. I think Mr. Marrero is probably at 6 or 8, right, maxed out. Is that right, Tony? I think you're at 6.
I'd still have to work some of the paperwork, but
right. I'm yeah, I think they'll bump you up to 6, yep. You get 13 days of sick leave annually, 12 federal holidays, now they have a Juneteenth. We actually have a TSP and a retirement pension, so we actually both. And we also get supplemental because our mandatory retirement age is at 57. However, if you're coming out as a veteran, that can change. In Mr. Marrero's case, it gets pushed out beyond 57. You have the right to do that. This is kind of what the GS scale looks like, and I won't bore you with this. You can look that up on OPM's website, but basically skip all the 1 through 5s. It'll just be 7, 9, 11, 12, and 13 in terms of your scale, like your enlisted rank or officer rank. And then supervisory is 14 and 15. And then you take that salary and you add 25% of your salary on top, and that's actually your real paycheck. So if you were to look at it like this, you know, GS5, that's the entry level. Base pay would be $51,194, but actually your real pay is actually $63,992, and that is for the COLA in Tucson, Nogales, which is roughly about 19%. So as you can see, it's very lucrative at GS13, which you would get that if you came in as a GS7 on your fourth year. You automatically go to GS13, and you're already making approximately $135,000, a little over $135,000 a year. And then if you rock that out all the way to GS13 Step 10, which is the max before you become a supervisor, you're already making roughly almost $180,000 a year. So it's a very good career post military, especially if you retire fully. And then obviously going to supervisor like myself and whatnot, it's just a very good paying job. And obviously something substantial to do and contribute to the country, you know, to the U.S. if you want to continue serving. So here's the difference. For us as a special agent, when you're coming onto the job, most people, if you're not in a covered position for your retirement, you have to be 37 years or younger to get on this job to be a special agent, because the mandatory retirement age is 57 with 20 years on. So you have to do 20 years and you have to be 57 mandatorily to retire. So if you came in at 38, you won't have 20 years to be retired at the retirement age of 57. The only exception, and this is what I entice veterans, is if you are a veteran, you can come any age after 37 years old. So in Mr. Marrero's case, how old are you, Mr. Marrero?
May I'll be 47.
47 years old. I hired him last year. I recruited him a year prior, and he fully retired honorably from the United States Air Force, and he came onto this job post-retirement with a full pension from the military, and I'm pretty sure he's service-connected like I am, and now he has another full career. And he doesn't have to retire at 57. He can do 20 years if he wanted to, or he can retire early if he wanted to. That's the luxury he has, as the benefits he has as a veteran. So that's a really good thing for him. Our pension is our highest 3 years of our salary, 1.7 for the first 20 years and 1% for every extra year that you do. So if you serve more than 20 years, you keep to get more for your retirement. The way you look for this job is every federal government job is through USA Jobs. You would go on the website. But now that we have recruiters like myself, I'm at the military bases. I'm always at Davis Monte, and that's where I met Mr. Marrero. I'm at the TAPS, but I also go to recruitment events. I'm always at the U of A. I'm always recruiting military folks that are using their GI Bill to go to college. And I'm also going to meetings like this at different veteran organization groups, VFWs and stuff, because I know we're getting a lot of youthful people coming out of the military and trying to get to these meetings, you know, and being educated and informed, even older veterans that aren't aware that they can have life after the military. They would look for these jobs, but with a recruiter by their side, the process is a lot easier. And Mr. Marrero could probably attest to that. And there's different ways to get in. You know, you still have to qualify. If you have a bachelor's degree, that does help. If you're military with a certain skill set, maybe you were intel, maybe you were infantry, you have some investigative experience with, source debriefing and stuff like that. That's going to help you a lot. And every announcement is different. So we have multiple announcements on how to get on the job, and qualify, and different ways to get on at a higher GS scale. So entry level would be a 7 with a bachelor's with just a 3.0 GPA. Or if you have some investigative background, or you're already working in some type of corrections or law enforcement, or you were a military police officer in the military, then we can bring you in as a GS-9. So instead of coming in as an E-1, you come in as an E-3. And that's simple. You know, it's not a big deal. And then we bring you in on those requirements. And those requirements to get on are a lot faster. We skip certain testings. You may not have polygraph and things of that sort. And you would look for this job on USA Jobs, like at the MOS. You just type in 1811. You'll see criminal investigations. Click it, and you'll see every job in the federal government for any special agents. Now, I do know for HSI, we waive the 37-year-old. Not every investigative agency waives that. So there are some agencies that will not bring you in after 37 if you're a veteran, but HSI does. We take care of our vets. These are some of the experience levels, and I won't bore you with this. I mean, if people are interested, you guys have people that are interested, please pass my contact information at the end to them and have them contact me directly. And I will sit with them and go into this a lot more in depth so they kind of understand this process. But just kind of the different things. The entry level, the timeline, because we have this massive hiring, it's taking a lot quicker. Usually the process for me when I got on was 2 years. Mr. Marrero, I think we got him on. He actually was still on active duty, so we actually did a military hold. So actually I hired him while he was still serving in the Air Force, and we put him on a military hold until he retired. So we're able to do that also. So people that are coming out and they have a year, year and a half. I got one guy who's still in the Air Force, and he's not coming to me until late 2027. So I have a military hold for almost 2 years for him. So we're able to do these things. We have this kind of wiggle room, and I think that's pretty amazing for veterans to know this. And right now with the surge, we're hiring pretty rapidly too. I've gotten people on the job in about 9 months. So it's a pretty good benefit. I won't bore you with these phases of what they go through if they go through an entry level. But I can go with that when people contact me directly. Just skip all this stuff here. There will be interviews, probably some face testing and stuff. But if you come at a higher level, we skip all this stuff for you. There is a physical fitness test. So there's a fitness requirement, obviously. It's pretty simple, but 32 sit-ups in 1 minute or less, a 220-yard wind sprint in 47.73 seconds or less, 22 push-ups in 1 minute or less, and every Marine I know will be laughing at that, and then 1.5-mile run in 14 minutes and 25 seconds or less. So it's a pretty simple. PFT standards is equal for males and females. There's no differences, but it's pretty doable. And I will turn it over to Mr. Murrow. I want to give him some time. I know I'm limited on my time. I want to give him some time to share his experience real quick about how he went on. So, Mr. Murrow, if you don't mind just sharing that experience.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much. Yeah, the big thing that I want to highlight is taking advantage of the opportunities that were presented. And with those doors open, I was very quick to run through them. So I met Mike at a TAP event in Davis-Monthan. And that led to an opportunity to go to a meet and greet that they had at the Nogales office for HSI. And I will say that I being in the service, you kind of get things kind of not handed to you, but there's a lot of processes that are kind of built in, especially as you progress throughout your career. And things like a resume, for example, that was something that was not, you know, like I didn't know, I knew what a resume was, but I had not. I never had to prepare one for a job getting out of the service before this opportunity came up. So going to that meet and greet event, seeing what this job was, and then kind of getting that coaching to get myself prepared so that I can make myself eligible for this. That was a really big deal. So I'm really grateful for that opportunity. Not to mention, one of the things that I did as I was progressing through this is tap into the people that I knew, having met Mike and then met some other people in that same community, ask them the questions like, hey, like, you know, what should I write into this resume? How should I explain these things? And then also leading into interview, because most of my jobs in the service, I didn't have to do an interview. Usually an assignment comes up, you get orders, and then you're off. But now it's doing that, something not too dissimilar from this, where I have to talk about myself and explain myself, and I hate to say it this way, but almost sell myself so I can get on the job. Applying through USA Jobs was not, it's almost like doing a lot of the things that we do in the service where if you're applying for a special duty assignment and you have certain paperwork that you have to turn in. So USA Jobs was actually pretty easy. And the big thing is like, submit the things that they ask for and do your due diligence to make sure that you submit them in a timely manner. The other big thing for me was making sure that I can get the timing right so that I can get the job and, you know, have it coincide with my retirement. And from, like, essentially from the day I met Mike to my EOD, where I entered on duty, was almost just at a year. From there, November 17th of last year, I started the Criminal Investigative Training Program, graduated right before spring here, and I'm working out of the office now. So it was a little bumpy, I will say, again, for me in particular, just because I'm learning how to be a civilian after 24 years of service. But nonetheless, you know, that there's a roadmap, things like what's being presented here. I mean, I used all these tools in particular to basically get me to this point. So I would say Mike sees me with a smile on my face sometimes, and I don't say a lot of words, but one other thing I wanted to highlight before I forget, I have an inclining for service, and I find myself in a place that is not too dissimilar from where I worked before. So that also makes things a lot of fun. So with that, I'll end there, and I think we're going to stay around for questions after if need be, right, Mike?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Murrow. And I just want to address, I was supposed to have Dom here. So besides the special agent position, we also have mission support specialist positions, which don't require having a badge and gun. We also are always hiring for veterans. There's no age requirement for that either. And they are the backbone of the offices. So they do the administrative. So if you have administrative background, they are hiring as well. I wasn't able to bring the admin officer down for this. And we also hire for criminal analyst positions as well. That's another position that we are filling for, that is more intel driven. And again, that's not an age requirement. The only one that's an age requirement is our position because it's law enforcement, it's gun toting. But those are specific ones. The last one I want to note on, and I can provide Rocio some information on it, is our HERO program. So our HERO program is designed specifically for anyone who's service-connected disabled. So you have to have a disability. It's not a specific rating. It can be 10%. I think you can even be 0% service-connected. But this is one where it's kind of like it's a paid internship for about a year, but it turns into a converted permanent position. And what they do is they send you to computer forensic analyst training, and they certify you to be a computer forensic analyst. And then you get assigned to an HSI field office locally, wherever you were interning at. And then you support cyber operations. And basically you are helping special agents go after the worst of the worst. And those are your child pornographers, the people that produce and manufacture and distribute child pornography. But you are the computer expert that knows how to, you know, image computers and stuff. And they train you in all this stuff. And all that's required of it is that you were honorably discharged and that you have a service-connected disability. And those programs come out annually. They announce those things. And it's an amazing program. They grab a whole bunch of people. They get them into these positions. And at least the internship, if they don't hire you after, maybe it's because of funding, at least you get the certifications. And that would help you for any job, maybe in the private sector that you want to be a part of. I think it's an amazing thing. We actually have a HERO employee that's been with us for now, I think the last 12 years in our office. And he's great, former Army and service connected. So that's another program. I can certainly share that with you guys. So you guys can share it to other people. If some people just want to get in that, it's not a gun toting position either. It's just you're going to be certified as a computer forensic analyst. I'm sorry this was short. This presentation is usually a lot longer, but I know I'm limited in time. So I will open it up for any questions, and I left my contact information here if you guys wanted to take it down.
Any questions? Yeah, no shortage of work, obviously, there, you know.
Yeah.
We had your Tom cousin. Tom's, go ahead.
Comment out, Marine Corps League. Hey, Michael, just a yes. Quick question. I'm actually texting with my nephew right now. He's in Baghdad. He's a contractor over there. He's getting ready to leave, but he's a gunfighter, and he was just asking what kind of tech jobs do you guys have? Do you have to do a certain amount of time as an officer before you can apply for your tech teams and stuff like that?
No, so the tech team, so I'm a tactics instructor, firearms instructor, and defensive tactics instructor, and I'm actually the hostage negotiator commander with SWAT. So okay. Those are all collateral positions. So your job as a special agent, your criminal investigator, gun toter, We do our own entries, but when we do high risk warrants, yeah, a special agent can have that as a collateral. So it's not a, just let them know, it's not going to be a tier one MARSOC type of team. You ain't going to have that environment. We're hitting houses on, obviously, on high risk warrants, but every agent does their warrants. But if it's a high risk thing, then yeah, we use the, obviously, the TAC team, to the entries. We have the house negotiator, snipers, breaches, and all that stuff. He can apply to that, but it's just a collateral. And what that means is if you're on the team and you're not doing your job as a case agent, as a special agent, then yeah, you're going to be benched. You know, it's not a full-time thing. Okay. So I always tell that I just hired a MARSOC Marine Corps major. I actually interviewed him in Iraq and he got out after about, I think, 9-10 years. Solid guy. He's going to be working out of the Tucson office. And, you know, I always get these guys, I always ask about, hey, the tag team. I'm like, yeah, that's great, but put it out of your head. That's going to be something you do like 3-4 years down the line. You're working cases, you're building your resume, you're building your career. And then that collateral is just there. You go to Benning, get certified, you're a passion member, and that's just a collateral duty that you have. That can build up to other things where you may go to like special activities unit and go to Benning and maybe be a full-time guy where you're teaching tactics or be a tactics instructor like myself and teach entries and all that stuff. But the primary function is being a criminal investigator. And that's the fun stuff anyways, you know, building those cases and taking down these networks. So, but he can do that. It's definitely there. So.
Will do. I'll pass the info on. Thank you.
Yep. Give him my contact information. I'm always looking for I'm always looking for those guys for sure.
Yeah. I took a picture. I sent it to him.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Any other questions?
Thank you. Okay, so much, Michael. Thank you, Antonio, for sharing your story and everything too. You know, I know the CBP side, your cousins, you know, they've worked with the VA to have mobile clinics come out and kind of do wellness checks on your folks because y'all do a lot.
Yes.
And there's no shortage of work, especially recently and stuff too. So, yeah, happy to have you guys ever come back if y'all got some really good, a lot of positions and stuff that y'all need to fill for us to help just spread the word, at least with our veteran community. We're happy to help you guys.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Appreciate you guys' time.
Thank you so much, you guys. All right. So now on to item 4, approval of the legal action report. Bruce, right?
Yes. I will make a motion that we approve the minutes as posted.
Do I have a second?
I second them. Motion, Lorraine Obregon, Gold Star Mother, VAC Secretary.
John Curtis.
Approve.
Bruce Hayes.
Yes.
Brenda Hugh.
Here.
And did you approve that earlier? Brenda Hugh.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And Rocio
Kerr? Approve.
Marshall Wolheater?
Yes.
Lorraine Obregon?
Yes.
You, Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
You, Tom Tubbs?
Yes.
You and Alan Young? All right. Passes 8-0.
All right. So on to the treasurer's report. So Terry is not here, but she did send it in. So it looks like our beginning balance is $16.69 with 19 cents. And net balance on hand after changing everything over to a savings account because of the fees and everything from Wells Fargo. Thank you to the American Post Legion 109 for their donation of $500. After we finish paying out the band there for $180, we will be left with $18.49 and 19 cents. Do we have any questions? All right. Do we have a motion to accept?
Tom Tunks, make a motion.
Thank you.
Bruce Hayes, American Legion, make a second.
Roll call. John Curtis?
Yes.
You, Bruce Hayes?
Yes.
You, Brenda Huey?
Yes.
Rocio Kerr?
Yes.
Marshall Wolheater?
Yes.
Lorraine Obregon?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Tom Thomas?
Yes.
Treasurer's report passes 8-0.
Excellent. Okay. So committee reports. I don't know if we have anybody that can give us updates on the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery. Oh, yeah, it's typically Terry or Tanya. Any updates anyone can give from the Arizona Department of Veterans Services? All right. And Terry's not here for the Military Lounge, Operation Exodus, or Fort Chaplains also for 2027. I'm sure she's still working on the plans for our 2027 ceremony there. Okay. So now on to item 7, our social media presence. So just a reminder again, we do have our Facebook page, and anything that y'all need to distribute, you can't send out to the back, but you can send it over to Amari and Francisco to distribute to our board. Any questions on that? So same old on that one there. Let's see, item 8, outreach to the mayor and council. Is there any information that we need to send up, communication to mayor and council, or that we would like to request? The one thing that I would like is for Bill Burks, our member that passed away recently, I would like to send up a request to the mayor for a letter of appreciation for their service to the board. And also for Henry that had to step down because of health issues, if they can do a letter again on behalf of the city of Tucson for them, for their service to the Veteran Affairs Committee. So do we need a motion on that or?
Nope. You have to keep in touch with the election.
If you could just send us an email so that we don't drop the ball and that we can forward to them so they don't think that we're requesting it.
Any questions or comments from the board on that, for that request? Y'all are good with that? Okay. All right. So number 9, any fundraising ideas for us at all that y'all run across? Okay. Any ideas y'all have, bring them up. Veterans Day Parade, well, we don't have Terry here to update us. And I don't think Al is here to update us on the memorials, but is there anything that y'all may have heard about the Mosaic Quarter for the memorials at all through your channels? No. Okay. It kind of makes it quick. All right. So now item 12. We are still looking for someone to fill the junior vice chair position. Do we have any volunteers?
I have a quick update. I know last time we talked about if we could have two positions on that. Unfortunately, okay. I was informed it's only one position a person. I know Commissioner Obregon was looking into it.
Okay.
But I also looked into what she, you know, what her position entailed as secretary.
Okay.
So pretty much preparing documents shared by you, the chair, keep monthly attendance, file LARs and minutes. But since Amari and I already do that,
okay.
We really don't need a secretary, so if she's still interested, I was told that she can go for the junior vice chair.
Okay.
And we can leave the secretary spot open since Amari and I do everything that a secretary would do anyway. So
very good point.
I just wanted to put that out there so if you know she is interested and it's possible to switch the title.
Any questions or comments for the board? We have Lorraine step up as the junior vice chair. All right. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion that we accept her nomination.
Marsha, I'll second.
Marsha will second. Okay. So
I'll do a quick roll call. Terry's not here. John Curtis?
Yes.
Thank you. Bruce Hayes?
Yes.
Brenda Hewitt?
Yes.
Rosia Perry?
Yes.
Marcia Woolheater?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Tom Tubbs?
Yes.
It passes 7-0. I'll go ahead and make that title change.
Okay. Is there anything we need to do to our legal action report or anything just to remove the secretary position from the board?
Can I add it on future agenda if it's something you're looking to fill?
What do y'all think? I mean, they
put it up to you.
Quite a bit of the admin already. Should we just remove it from the committee? That's a position?
Yeah, since it's going to, okay. They're not going to do anything since right. It's going to be us doing everything. So they're pretty much going to be.
Do we need a motion for that?
Yeah, we should just make the motion too.
Okay.
Just to be safe.
All right, so I make a motion to remove that position since it's no longer relevant. Do I have a first second for that?
Crusades American Legion, I second.
Okay.
Roll call, John Curtis.
I guess, yes.
Bruce Hayes?
Yes.
Brenda Hewitt?
Yes.
Cecilia Pierre?
Yes.
Marsha Woolier?
Yes.
Lorraine Obregon?
Yes.
Marlene Ruiz?
Yes.
Tom Tubbs?
Yes.
Passes 8-0.
Okay. And congratulations, Lorraine. Good question.
Thank you.
And you know what? It actually just helped us update the whole roster for the, you know, bringing up that question and everything too. So, okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. So moving on, item 13, our summer break.
Madam Chair.
So, yes, I'm sorry. You had your hand up, Marlon.
Yes, Marlon Ruiz, MOWW, point of order, on the topic that we just voted on. I think it's going to require looking at the bylaws as well. If the position is listed there, it might require an amendment.
Okay.
We'll look into it as well.
All right. Thank you for that reminder. All right, item 13, summer break. Don't forget, our next meeting is the 13th of May, and then we go dark for June, July, August, and we will be back September. Any of the folks that you know that are applying to join the board and commission still go through the process and everything. They just may wait to onboard them until after we come back from going dark for the summer, just so y'all know. But business as usual, they can send out everything, and if we have any events and stuff, we can still send them to Francisco and Amari to share with our committee and everything, too. But any questions or comments on that? Yes, Marsh.
Excuse me. So at the end of August or beginning of September, y'all remind us that we're in the second session. Okay.
Yes. Good question, though. Okay. So now we'll go down the roll call for the report of the good of the order and see what you guys got for updates.
John Curtis?
Nothing, thank you.
Bruce Hayes?
Bruce Hayes, American Legion. I am happy to announce that I have been awarded 3 new positions. Mm-hmm. I am a peer support. A transition person with Onward Ops. I am now a Pathfinder with Objective Zero, and I am also the spiritual wellness coaching guide for Holding the Hope, we're having a meeting the last Wednesday of the month at Esperanza Escalante.
Yes, I just wanted to say it was a pleasure to attend the Marine Corps League Memorial last Saturday. You guys did an amazing job. It was very heartfelt, very professional, and just want to say well done. And that's all I have.
Rosie O'Carey?
Yes. So just to kind of add on with Bruce Hayes, so Holding the Hope peer support, the last Wednesday of the month, like Bruce is saying, is the general meeting. Do you have a date selected yet for your spiritual peer support group yet, Bruce?
Or do you not know what? As of yet. I'm still going to work in support with the general group or the mixed group, and then as needed, if there's a request for, I can start additional time.
Excellent. They have a women's group that's the week before, so second to the last week of the month, and they were supposed to kick off one for the LGBTQ group next week, but some issues with the flyers, so they have to push it until next month. So it'll be like the last, you know, three Wednesdays of the month and everything that we have our sessions and everything. So those flyers will be coming out when they reschedule that. I'm trying to think what else. POCs, if y'all need that information from Michael and everything, let me know. I have this information if anyone is interested, if y'all didn't get the contact information and stuff for him. Also for CBP that came last week. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. If y'all have any more nominations for a Living Legend Proclamation for any of your women vets in your community, send them through me so we can send them through and make sure that those women are honored. Up in Phoenix yesterday, we had our first, or they had their first all-women's honor flight. So that was really exciting to see. Quite a few Vietnam vets that were on that flight, so I was so excited to see that. So really excited. So, that's it for me.
Thank you.
Marshall
Wilhiter?
I have nothing.
Yes, thank you all for your service. I don't have anything for the good of the order other than recruit. We really need more people. Spread the word. It was really fantastic information on Mr. Torres. Thank you for what you're providing for our community, and hopefully we can share that contact so that I come across from time to time people, and I think it's a really good plan for them to have some kind of a point of contact for the transitional phase from going military to civilian life. I think it's really important to have some kind of a plan rather than just there you are, here you go, you get to go home. Thank you so much. Everyone be safe and God bless.
Marlon Ruiz.
Yes, good evening. A couple of things for MOWW, but I'll start with a quick reminder on behalf of the MIAP, Missing in America Project, is having its biannual with full honors burial ceremony on Saturday the 18th. So that's not this Saturday, but the next one down over on the west side. In Marana at the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery, location off of I-10 Marana Road. The event starts at 10 a.m., and they're usually done between 10:30 and 11. So we welcome everyone to come out and support that event. On the MOWW side, we're about a week out from gearing up in full gear for the annual ROTC and junior ROTC end of academic school year awards season. We've already have for Southern Arizona about 40 medal packages will be distributing just in Southern Arizona alone between now and mid-May, which is the usual duration each year. On the heel of that, we will be transitioning over to preparation for closure for our operating year, which ends on the last day of June. And then we will start preparations for our annual convention, which will be on before the convention. We do have in Arizona, the Arizona Youth Leadership Conference, which is a summer program, multi-day, hosted this year in Central Arizona, the first week of June. We'll get some more information out there and distribute it for everyone to have. If you happen to be in the area, please support it. It's going to be up at the Papago, the PPMR training facility for the National Guard. And that's about a 3 to 4 day on-site event as well. Then we have our national convention, which will be the first week of August this year. We're having it over in San Antonio, Texas, at the Westin Hotel right off of the Riverwalk. So once again, we'll get the details out to everyone. Subject to questions, that's all I have.
Tom Tunks?
Yes. First off, Marlon, I can't make it Saturday on the 18th. I have another funeral I have to attend to. But I will try to get somebody from my detachment out there to support. Secondly, I just want to thank everybody that came out to my memorial, last Saturday. It was pretty touching. I appreciate Marlon, everybody that came out and laid down a wreath, did a flower. We did have, a Marine there, Mr. Blackbird, and he was, it's kind of a horrible story. He flipped a coin with his friend, Corporal Solar, and he won, so he went on the 53, and Solar went on the Osprey and died. So that gentleman, this is the first time he's been there. He was a police officer for 25 years on the Indian Reservation in New Mexico, and his wife and I spoke afterwards, and this is the first time that he's ever dealt with anything about the Osprey and his friend, Corporal Solar. So possibly we opened a door for some healing, and that's what memorials are about. So yeah, but I really appreciate all of you coming out helping me. I hate to use the word celebrate, but you guys came out and helped me celebrate those Marines, and I really, really appreciate it. And that was unfortunately my last year. So next year I will be a face in the crowd. I don't know if you caught the news. They put us on the news. The FBI hasn't kicked in my door. So, that's a good thing. But, no, once again, thank you very much for supporting that. And if you guys need anything from my detachment, don't hesitate, and I will do whatever I can possibly do. Thank you very much.
And then I just have two that I forgot. So big one. So Bill Burks, I wanted to say thank you to those from the committee that came to his viewing. 23rd of March, and he will have a burial April 27th at noon at the Marana Veterans Memorial Cemetery. We did vote last month to provide a bouquet or something for the family. He is a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan, so I'll probably have something made for that for his burial there. So just so you guys know. And also the Arizona Coalition for Military Families, the 15th and 16th of April next week, up in Phoenix is their symposium. So if y'all want to go up and network or whatever, and stuff. So that's it for me on item 14. So sorry about that.
No, that's actually everybody.
Okay. So, real quickly for item 15, future agenda items, I am actually working to bring in a speaker from Military One Source, so they can come and talk about the resources that they provide through their group. And I'm also trying to see if I can get Endeavors. If not, I'll try for September. But Endeavors, it's a new group that's out there, and it's not just in Arizona. It's a few states now, and they provide a lot of, how should I say, some wellness resources to our veterans in the community. Some of the things that they've done is they've gone to some of the CBP officers, especially not being paid, and just provided like massages and things like that to kind of relax them and everything, because they're under a lot of stress and stuff too. And they'll come and talk about other things that they're doing. But any questions or comments, ideas of who else to try and bring in as speakers, if not for the next session, maybe September. I try not to overload us so we're not here all night, so I try and space them out and stuff. But if you don't have any ideas today, still bring them up and email me for who you would also like, or if you hear about groups, I will still try again to bring Darren Gregg from the VA Health Clinic, the DM/VA Health Clinic, to hopefully come and brief us next month, too. So any questions there? Okay. All right. So, Bruce, if you can lead us out with one of your great benedictions.
Father, we ask you that you provide us with protection and anything that we might need until we meet again. We ask you that you provide protection and everything that is needed for those that are on this new operation. And we just ask you that you are in charge and that you are in control, that these things be brought to a quick resolution. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, you guys, so it is 7 o'clock on the dot, and that concludes our meeting. Next meeting is Wednesday, May 13th, and that'll be our last meeting before we go dark for the summer. Thank you, everyone, and see you next month.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you all.